I've married Osnas Baspeti Pera. Baspeti Pera. The Rabbeinu Bechaya and Chumash quotes, Tile Ploim, how can he marry a Shiksit?
I don't know.
Well, the guy or their wife. Okay. The Rabbeinu says in the Pasuk we mentioned already, the Pasuk says, Bonai Heim Ashenosan Li Elokim Bozen, beginning of Parshas Vayechi, when Yosef wanted Yaakov Avinu to give a bracha to his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, before he died, Yaakov Avinu was about to die. So he brought his two sons close to Yaakov to give them a bracha. So Yaakov says, Mi'ela. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash that he thought that they weren't ruining the bracha, that they were children from a shiksa, that he had violated the din that Avraham Avinu was given. Lias l'chol l'kim l'zarcha acharecha, and Parshas Lech Lecha. That the Gemara says in Yivam Zabkuf, that they weren't permitted to marry shiksas, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the mitzvah of bris mila and the mitzvah of intermarriage, the Issa, in other words, the Issa that you're not permitted to marry a shiksa. And he says, we give you Eretz Yisrael on the condition that you fulfill the mitzvah of bris mila, that you don't marry a shiksa, and b'tchus ha-karbonus. That was the package deal. Zabkuf on the base. The Gemara says, Pshat, Lias l'chol l'kim l'zarach ha-recha, zara miyuchas achro. The Lalin said, Nochri Yaisa, something like that. The Gemara says that he, and that's why the Gemara has a Lashon. The Gemara has a Lashon in Erevin, that Avraham Avinu sits al Tischa Shel Gehenim, and when the people come, when they, after someone dies, and they bring the person, whoever belongs in that section, so they bring the person there, so he checks to see if he has a bris mila. So he says, the guy has a bris mila, so he can't send him to Gehenna. As the pasuk says, yeah, and Rashi at the end of Rav Lezer Nemila quotes a medrash on a pasuk in Shayosa. What does the pasuk say? The gam. Anybody have Rav Lezer Nemila? The gam at the dam we say, the gam at the dam we say something we Torah see right. What's the pasuk in Shira? Shulach. The gamad v'dam reisich shulach. In Zechariah, the last Rashi in Avlezim Avila, we say the nutzach habrocha tzara lahatzu yidi shereinim ishachas. The man reisah shesambu yisareinim. We say the bracha about the bris mila. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save us from Gehenim and the tchus, they will fulfill the bris mila. That's what the Nusach HaBracha means. And Rashi says, as it says in Zechariah Perek Tet, and it's the Medrash on that Pasuk, Kamat Adam Rishtech Shalachti Asti Reich Mibor Ein Mayim Bo. It means I spare you from Gehenim, that's the Bor Ein Mayim Bo, the Adam Rishtech, because you fulfill the mitzvah of Mila. So that's the Gemara in Erevin says, in the second Perek in Erevin, Avraham Avinu sits on Tischa Shal Gehenim, on the outside, I imagine. And whoever, whenever they bring some Jews there, so he checks to see that they have a bris mila, and he says that he's not going to let them take him into Gehenna because they fulfilled the bris mila. Unless they were boil aramis, so then he says, the Gemara says it becomes nimshachor alasai, and then he says send them into Gehenna. What does it mean? Nimshachor alasai. Is it true in Mitzvah that whoever's boil aramis, it's not true. Whoever's boil aramis, nimshachor alasai? No, it means that there was a package deal. That's what it says in Parashas Lech Lecha. But it's Boch gives Avraham Avinu a deal. So he says, I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael. If you'll fulfill your half of the deal, what's his half of the deal? You have to fulfill bris mila. Lias l'chol l'kim l'zarach ha'frach means not to marry a shiksa. That's the Gemara Yivam Zavkuf. And then he also said by the bris ben absarim and the schus of korbanos. And all the other mitzvahs, that's if you want to get mizrachlan and you're going to age. But if you just want to be spared from Gehenna, you want to have the right to have Eretz Yisrael, you want to be spared from Gehenna, you have to fulfill these in your own. So that would be... apparently the Midrashim are worried about this, that the Ovois and the children were in the Tztava that was Mitzvah V'yosef to fulfill Bris Mila and not to intermarry. Apparently you have to be Megayer them, that they should be Jewish. How do you make Yir? There was no...
They weren't Jewish either.
There was no Matan Torah, but still the Gemara talks about the Ovitz Kodem Matan Torah that they became Gerim. There's a question, did they become Gerim with Tfilah? What is a Tfilah Kodem Matan Torah? So Rav Dovla has a Chumash, he quoted the stira between two Gemaras, between Rashi and one Gemara and another Gemara. That's the problem. Exactly what did the Gerim, what did the Maitre Gerim consist of? But there must have been some Maitre Gerim. Otherwise, what did the Gemara interpret
that they're not permitted to marry a shiksa. What's the shiksa? What's the yiddish? There is some kind of a difference, but they had to marry dafka yiddish. So that's what the Medrash is worried about. What's over here with the Latnas Bas Paiti Farah? So Rashi quotes the Medrash in the beginning of Parshas Vayechi, Bonai Hem Hashanas and Lila Kim Bozeh, that they are ruim lebracha. Why is Bozeh? Bozeh means like Zekelevi Anvei, or Herolobi Yetzma. Zeh means something that you can point to. The Gemara says in Menachos, whenever it says Zeh, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed it to Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zalachem, he showed him the Levana. He says, Zalachem Atami, the Shvatim, he showed him the Shvatim. And he says, by the Menorah, it says also, Zeh Maaseh HaMenorah. And it says, by Machna Shekel, because they Yitnu. So the Gemara says, on all of these four or five Makaras, every time it says Zeh Nechumish, and it says, Zekelevi Anvei, the Herolobi Yetzma. As the lover, there's going to be Machalat Tzadikim, and they'll say Hinero came is there also. They'll point to HaKadosh Baruch in the middle. Whenever it says that, it means something that you can point to. So here also it says Hashanah and Lilikim Bozeh. So the simple pshat is in Eretz Mitzrayim in this land. But according to this understanding that whenever it says that, it means something that you can point to. So what was he pointing to? Eretz Mitzrayim Bozeh. What does it mean Bozeh? So that's what Rashi quotes. No, Herol Ashtar Eretz. He showed him Ashtar Ketubah. That's what Avavala says, that Shtar Erisin is only by Jews and not by Goy. By Goy there is no Erisin, it's only Bulas Bal Yesh Lahem, and Nichna Seluchop V'Loi Nivola Ein Lahem, and Iksub is also only by Jews and not by Goy. So what Yosef HaTzadik was telling his father was that he was Megayer his wife. That's the Pasha, that's how Avavala interprets the Pasha Pshat in that Rashi. That he thought that they weren't Rim Lebrocha because their mother was a Shikster, that Yosef had violated this din, so the children are Goy, and children are going to say he can't give them a Brocha. So he said, no, I was Megayer my wife. Rabbeinu B'chai HaChumash quotes HaMedrash Shtar Ksuba, Shtar Eris and Shtar Ksuba, that Eris and Ksuba only applies to Yisrael by Yom HaToylom Shtar Geris and Amai Sedez. No, the Medrash says Shtar Eris and Ksuba. That's a good question. Where was the Bez? I don't know. That's a question exactly. What was the Maisa Geris? How did they make a Maisa Geris? We don't know exactly.
And you will have the Megayah that I'll shame marry?
I don't know if he was Megayer Al Shem to marry. Maybe he had been Megayer other people as well. Maybe he had been Megayer and then later on he decided to marry.
What about Rechma? Which was also Miss
Bayer? Not the Shem Mitzvah Mila not to intermarry. To live in Eretz Yisrael. To live in Eretz Yisrael, to bring Kokonis, these four mitzvahs. To be Malia children and not to intermarry. To live in Eretz Yisrael, there's some people that don't even keep those four mitzvahs. The four mitzvahs, a lot. To live in Eretz Yisrael, I know a lot of Jews that don't keep that mitzvah. To live in Eretz Yisrael, to promise to do Karbonis, to promise to be Malia children. The latest thing in America, not to be Malia children. It's barbaric. The Jews want to do away with Mila. So these are the four basic mitzvahs that we have this boost to keep Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbeinu B'chai quotes a famous Medrash. He says a different pshat. Osnan's about Paiti Farah was not really the daughter of Paiti Farah. She was raised by Paiti Farah. She was really the daughter of Dina. Yeah. And he put, and Yaakov Avinu, who chased her away from the rest of the family, a strange Medrash. Why he gave the name Osnan's, also a strange Medrash. Put her with Tachas Asneh. Strange story. Then he put a locket on her neck that said that whoever married this girl will be Mizdavik Bizarashal Yankif or Bizarashal Avram, or something like that she's a Jewish girl. And then Yosef saw the girl and he saw she had this thing, so he realized that was his niece, so he married her. He married Dina's daughter. And then later on, when the father thought, when Yankif thought that he married a shiksa, so he showed the father Bozeh. He showed the father the kameh that he had put on her neck. He said, I married her. Rashi says he promised Yisoeno. So the simple pshat is that he'll marry her. So some of Farshim say, how could he marry her as a Nisar? So some say Sheyasiena, that he'll find her a Shidduch. He'll marry her raw. The question how to read that Medrash that Rashi put, Sheyisoeno, that he's going to marry his sister, or Sheyasiena, that he promised that he'll take care of his Shidduch. Yeah, that's another Medrash. So here Rabbeinu B'chai asks Akasha, according to this marriage that he quotes, that Osnan was really the daughter of Dina. He's marrying his niece, huh? Yosef married the daughter of Dina. That's his niece. It's a mitzvah. He must have a mitzvah to marry a niece.
It was brother did twice. He married his brother's daughter. And then, the tour's brother. Yehuda ben Arosh.
The tour? The tour's brother?
Yehuda ben Arosh. His brother, right? I read in Rishon that he married his one of his brother's daughters.
Uh-huh.
And then she died, and later he married another brother's
another
daughter.
Another one. Uh-huh. Interesting. So Rabbeinu Bechai asked, so why does he say in the Chumash Bas Koiti Fera? So he says, because the Gemara says in the second parak in Sanhedrin, the Kol Hamagadol Yasam Misaf Beis Amalal Alakasam Kili Yelodei. So therefore, the Chumash can write honestly that it's Bas Koiti Fera, because Koiti Fera raised them. There's a famous Tshuva Nachasam Sofer that has become famous in recent years, and now that people are adopting more so than in Europe. In Europe, they didn't adopt so much. It used to be Megadol Yisaim Misaf Beis. But now in America it became more popular, people who don't have children. In Europe, the people who had children used to have 10 children, they adopted, take another 2 children in the house. They forced their children.
They say
the
same thing
by
teaching
of Moshe Rabbeinu for the Aron Sofer. Right, also. Some type of a tshuva about a man who married his father's sister. 100? Married his father's sister? He was living for a long time. So then there was no rabbi in that community. I don't know how he got married. He gave a ring, Saharab Kadesh. There was no rabbi. Not every city had rabbis. It's a little village. So a neighboring rabbi found out about it. He said, how are you talking? So they said, Anisa Koris, you don't have to give a gift. They have to separate. You don't even need a gift. Thank you, Dushan Tops. So the guy said, no. The story was that it wasn't really his father. That it was his, that man had adopted him. All his life he went by that name. He used to write to sign his name on Ksubas, and he got aliyahs to the Torah. Reuben ben Yaakov, whatever, I forgot his name already. Some sort of writes the whole thing in the Tshuva, and he used to call himself by that name. So and later on he says, no, it wasn't true, it's just that he was brought up by that man, and he gave a whole explanation. Why? Well, Gamsen. So some sort of says he's Neman. Some sort of gives the whole Tshuva that the guy's Neman to say that it wasn't his father. Yeah, that's what he talks about. I don't know. Should be Becheska that is in. Mukhsak that it's in. I don't remember his whole tshuva, but he gives a tshuva that it's mutter. He gives a tshuva Allah Almighty that the name of the Lord. And then he says, and there's absolutely nothing wrong to get called up to the Torah to sign your name on a shtar like that. And he quotes a different pasuk that it says in Chumash, Serach Bas Asher. What does it mean? Serach Bas Asher. And the Ramban, I think, on that pasuk says, wasn't the daughter of Asher, she was adopted by Asher. So he says, just like the Ramban says, Bas, because Hamagadli Yasim Sech Beis Malachas Kili Yelodo. And the Chumash says there, Bas Hashir, so you can call Bas, so he says there's nothing wrong. And that's how Rabbeinu Bechai says on this pasuk also, based on this medrash, Bas Paiti Fera. The Torah says Bas Paiti Fera. And it's not really true that it was Bas. So he says there's nothing wrong with it. The contemporary Gdolim say, Rav Soloveitchik and other Gdolim say that you shouldn't, the Rabbanim in Europe and in Eretz Yisrael also, they say that today you shouldn't do like that. That if someone adopts a child, so he shouldn't call himself up to the Torah Reuven Ben Yaakov. And he shouldn't sign a ksuba like that, or let's say fill his name out in a ksuba like that. They should rather write Reuven Bas Yaakov Hamahamtso or Hamagadlo. He should write something in or
the original father's name, right?
Yeah, he knows his father's name, yeah. In many cases, this case of the Sam Sefer has, the mother was Mizana. The mother was a maid for this man. And the mother was Mizana and she was pregnant. So the man, her boss, married her and then he raised the child. Wasn't his child, he raised the child. So he went on his father's name. Didn't want everybody to know that his mother, the man didn't want every the woman.
No,
he wasn't a mamza, but he was just an illegitimate child. It was out of marriage. He wasn't married when she became pregnant. And they didn't know who the father was. Goya, Eid, whatever. So they didn't want everybody to know that this child was born out of marriage. So this man was nice enough to marry her, and they believed that he was the father all along. But it was a secret that the family, only the members of the family knew. And that's why he married his aunt, because it wasn't his aunt. It was his adoptive father's sister. So even though the Chassam Sofer says Mikir Adin, it's permissible to go with the name Pliny Bas Pliny or Pliny Ben Pliny, so the Gdolim today say we shouldn't do it because people later on will make mistakes when it comes to Chalitza. Yidden, they've already made many mistakes. People think you do need Chalitza, you don't need Chalitza because they left children, they didn't leave children. The din is that if you adopt a child, it's not a child. So Allah doesn't recognize Hamagali Yasa Mesel Beis Amal Akosa Kili Lord as if Mamashi Lord. It's not really so. The Peladik Etshuvah Nechacham Tzvi, based on that Gemara in in Sanhedrin in the second Perek. He has a tshuva about the golem that was made by Maharal Prague, whether the golem is mitzuruf to a minion. They said the golem should be mitzuruf to a minion. They hate it, of course. It tells you to look in that Siman Nun Hei, when the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Haim gives you all the people who are mitzuruf to the minion, who are not. So the Hetiv says, what about a golem is created like? They say, if you see it, so look on the Chacham Tzvi's tshuva. Chilek one, so the Chazanish says that it's utterly ridiculous. Chazanish and Ebenezer says it's utterly ridiculous. The golem is not only not Jewish, he's not a human being, it's Mutal Lahargo. If you create a human being by mixing chemicals together, so he says that's a Balchai, that's a bang. It doesn't have a din of a human being. In fact, the Chashayla, let's say, now they have test tube babies. So maybe it's not a human being, based on that Chazanish. You have to be done. Maybe the Chlal is not a human being. I don't know. You have to be Mavar exactly the same. But he says it certainly doesn't make any sense. So what's the whole idea of the Chacham Tzvi to say that it should be a Jew? The Chacham Tzvi machta tzustel with this Gemara. The Gemara says, Hamagal yasim esech beisai, mal ala kasim kila yolodah. So you see that if I raise a child, it's considered like it's my child. So the Maharami Prague not only raised the child, he created Yeshmei, he created the Golem. So mal ala kasim kila yolodah is like a child of the Maharami Prague. So he's Jewish. That's exactly what they tie in it today. If you adopt a child, and I'm a kohen or a levi, so the child that I adopt should become Jewish, a kohen or a levi. Of course not. We don't accept that lalacha. We say the child remains a goy, a yisrael, a kohen or a levi, whatever he was before, that's what he is now. We don't say malalakaz akili yilode. But that was some of the mistake. That's what the Chacham Tzvi quotes that Gemara. Malalakaz akili yilode, that maisit tzadikim, that's the lotion. He says, gedele maisit tzadikim. When he raised a child, it's considered as if they. They were Yolodah. So he gets a Kedushas Yisrael, even though he's a Golem. The Gedolim say that there's a partial Kima Mitzvah. The Chafetz Chaim has in a few of his Svarim. Stipula quotes from the Chafetz Chaim in a few places has like that. And Avshlomo Kluger has in the beginning of Eben Ezra like that, and Siman Aleph. Rav Soloveitchik said, a Rambam like that, that you have a partial Kima Mitzvah of Pirug Ruvi when a person adopts a child. I published an essay a few years ago in the RJJ Journal where I quoted this from the Gedolim. So there was some fellow, Emeret Yisrael. He wrote the book Leisha Bar Mitzvah. I forgot his name. Getzel Ellenson. So he felt very insulted why I didn't refer to his pamphlet. He wrote a pamphlet about birth control, which I didn't like, so I didn't quote anything from his pamphlet. So he felt very insulted. So he sent in a long letter to the editors of the RJJ Journal with footnotes. A letter with footnotes. So he wanted them to publish his letter to the editor with the footnotes. A whole scholarly treatise attacking everything that I wrote. But the only thing that he attacked were the peripheral things. One of the major attacks that he had was that one of the attacks was that the Chazanish shouldn't be used by people who don't know how to learn. I quoted the Chazanish. It should only be used by him. He's a kibbutznik. You ever mentioned kibbutz? It should not be used by people who know how to. But one attack was that people are reading Rabbi Shester's article and they're not having children anymore, they're just adopting. Everybody in the street, they stopped having their own children because Rabbi Shester says that in the time period of Rivi, if you adopt children, partially adopt children, there's a partial kima mitzvah. So people are just practicing birth control now, they're just adopting children based on the article. Everybody's passing by the RJJ Journal, you know? So they're not having their own natural children, they're all adopting children. And this is utterly ridiculous, and no place in the world holds like that. So I quoted only in the footnotes, I only quoted in that essay, I only quoted the Shlomo Kluger writes like that. I didn't bother quoting every Maram Ochman. It's not a Tshuvah Aloch. I didn't quote that the Rav said like that in the Rambam. I didn't quote that the Stipler quote that the Chofetz Chaim writes like that in several of his Kuntresim, that those who can't have children should adopt because there's a partial theme on it. So he writes, no place, no responsible place writes that. Keeps on attack, no responsible, makes a deal there. Rav Moshe doesn't hold like that, makes a deal to Lubavitcher Rebbe doesn't hold like that because they say you should avoid adopting. You say you should avoid, you get involved in problems when you adopt. And then he says, I Rav Shlomo Kluger, he's not a responsible person. Okay. Shlomo Kluger is not a responsible, the only one who said, I quoted someone who said, so he didn't like that. But that's the truth. The truth is that there are Gedolim who think like that. There are other Gedolim, like Professor Getzel Ellison, who disagree. Blake Attack Gedolim, between Shlomo Kluger and Getzel.
What does it mean, a partial key? You see, you know, this person was
adopted.
Later on, he has a chance to have his own children.
Why should that be wrong? Why should that be wrong?
So not to mean he's only inspired. Yes,
what do you mean only? A guy wears sisters with tailors, another guy wears sisters without tailors. So here is a full key, my mister. Here is a partial key, my mister. One guy does chalitza with rikikin, with kriyas hapsukim. One guy does chalitza without the kriyas, without the rikikin. So he has a partial kima mitzvah. He gets less chal. There's a full kima mitzvah.
Maybe there's a kind of different mitzvah. The point is that you have to make a kind of something in this mitzvah.
No, this mitzvah is done.
The one who does, he's not just making a mitzvah of chesed and rachmanus and all that. He's also making, particularly this mitzvah of
yeah, partial kinyan mitzvah. The editor, some of the editors wanted to print his letter. They wanted to print a response to the letter. So I told them that I'm not capable of writing such nasty language. The letter was so nasty. I said, I don't have the ability. So he said, it's okay, I should just tell him what, and I'll get someone who'll write to me. But then when they passed around the letter to the other, they have a whole editorial board, so the others on the editorial board said they will never print such a nasty letter. He can print it somewhere else, wherever he wants. Maybe he printed it, I don't know. But they said they will not print it in Asia. Anyway.
Is that
a very useful. It's called Marma Femme. It's a very good safety. He made a quite a fine contribution. What's that? Yeah. Whatever he has, whatever he has available. Probably does one.
Is partial king five
that you also? Yeah. No, that's what the Rambam runs. That's what Rasul Lech pointed out. The Rambam would appear like that. That if a person is melamed teira lacherim, even though he doesn't have children of his own, that's a partial kima mitzvah to him. It's a peribrivia to preserve the masayre. Well, koyde matan teru mitzvah peribrivia applied to goyim also. So the nature of the mitzvah was just to populate the world. And after matan teru, the mitzvah only applied to bnei Yisrael because the nature of the mitzvah changed. There's no longer a kima mitzvah in milus oretz b'chiv shua. Koyde matan teru, the whole nature of the mitzvah was legamri different. Pru revu. Milos Oretz B'chiv Shua, there was a mitzvah to study science and to conquer the world and to go to fly to the moon and to make computers and everything and to conquer the whole world, Kiv Shua. And after Matan Torah, the whole nature of the mitzvah is Legamrei Nishtana Mikovako. The mitzvah is no longer B'chiv Shua. None of the Rishonim calls B'chiv Shua. I the Pasuk in the Chumash. None of the Rishonim calls Milos Oretz. No mitzvah to send, see them all over the world. The mitzvah only is Pru Revu, we should have Jewish children. And some pasuk say la locha. Let's say a person has children that become mumrim, so he's not yet in the mitzvah. Like the Rambam says that a gershon is gayer. We pasuk like Rabbi Yechon, gershon is gayer. V'hoyle banim benachri yuso. Is we pasuk is yet to piriviriviya. So the Rambam says only if the banim on his gayer also. That's the pasuk shad the Rambam. Only if the banim on his gayer also. The banim on his gayer not. Why? Because you're only yet to piriviriviya. If you preserve the master of Yiddishkeit in the world, if you have goyish children, so you're not preserving any master. So the mitzvah bizman hazeh after matan Torah no longer includes milos haaretz, no longer includes b'chiv shua. So that's why I try to say that I'm a lamed ben chaver teira. There's also malal kasa kili yilada that there's a partial kiyam mitzvah piri v'ri. That there's a partial kiyam mitzvah. Yes, a partial kiyam mitzvah. The full kiyam mitzvah is if you have physically, you have your own children. I just want to make it clear, I didn't mean that when you get married you shouldn't have your own children. I don't think anybody misread the essay.
The mitzvah
is considered
the same mitzvah,
now it's only different. Only the Yisrael, below the Bnei Nach, yeah. This is an example, yeah.
This is considered what? It was repeated?
It was repeated, yeah.
Even
though it's
in a different form?
Yeah. Yeah.
What was it repeated?
Shuvah lachem li'aleichem. The Gemara says, was the mitzvah repeated? So the Pasuk says that Yosef had two children, Terem Tal v'Shnasa, Rabbi had Menashe v'Ephraim. Why the giving of the names Menashe v'Ephraim? So the Pasuk says, Menashe ki nashan alekim is kol amol v'ez beisavi. He caused me to forget everything. He forgot only aggravation. And Ephraim alekim b'yeretz onyi, that he was fruitful, that he had children. The Rabbeinu Bechai has a famous comment on this pasuk, which the Paskin quote. The Paskin didn't have Rabbeinu Bechai. Somehow this Rabbeinu Bechai the quote. When you fill out a ksuba, so if the girl is getting married for the first time, so you write v'deinim dunim dahanola slaymi be'avua. This is the value, the estimated value of all of the property that she's bringing into the marriage, clothing and bedding and towels and whatever, china, whatever. And if she's not the base of it, let's say she's the Yisayma, she was once married before, she's divorced or an almana, whatever, then you're right. But then dunya the hanalas le mi bay nasha. What does it mean, bay nasha? Also means from her parents' home. So what does the loshen mean, mi bay nasha? What does bay nasha mean? So the Acharayim quote, I think, the Nachla Shiva, the official sefer on Ksubis. He gives you the text of the Ksubis, then he gives you word for word what every word means and where it comes from. He calls Shvar, Arag, Nissen. Gives you all the Makaris and Chumash and Anovi and Ramban and Gemaris and everything, where the word appears and what it means. So he says on this word, Mibay Nashra, so he says, Rabbein and Bechaya writes on Chumash, Ki Nashan Alekim means to forget. Mibay Nashra means because it says in Bereshus, Falken Yazadish and Salve Simo, that when the girl gets married, plus it says when the boy gets married, he's supposed to leave his family. But when the girl gets married, she's supposed to leave her family also and move in with her husband. Both supposed to leave the parents' home. So the Rabbein and Bechaya writes, if the girl just got married now from her father's home, then it's called Mibay Avua. If the girl is no longer in her father's home, then it's called Mibay Nasha, the place that she has already forgotten, Nashani, the family that she's already been removed from for a while, because she was previously married, that's called Mibay Nasha. That's what he translates. The Chidor has in one of his Torah, he quotes a statement from the Rabbeinu Bechaya, which doesn't appear, I couldn't find it, doesn't appear in the Rabbeinu Bechaya on this week's edit, maybe somewhere else. That what kind of a name is Ephraim? What kind of a name the Chumash says? Ki Ephraim Elakim, Eloshim Pirim Verivya. So he quotes that this different Rabbeinu Bechaya that Ephraim means double Afer. Afer twice is Ephraim. What's double Afer? That he wanted to give a name after Avraham and Yitzchak. Yankov is still alive, but he wanted to give, Yosef wanted to give a name after Avraham and Yitzchak. Avraham was thrown into the Kivshan Hoesh and Ur Kazdim. So he was almost turned into Afer. Yitzchak was almost Korba Gabi on his bear. And the Loshan Hevish, the Rashi and Chumash quotes is Afroit Sofer Amunach HaGabi on his bear. So there are ashes from Avraham that we speak of, theoretical ashes, and the ashes of Yitzchak also, the theoretical ashes, Afroit Sofer Amunach HaGabi on his bear. The ashes of the isle that was carved in stir. So the Chidor quotes one of his Svarim, as it says, it's called Midbar Kidemos, a bizarre collection of different odds and ends, believe it or not, of, you know what? It's not halacha, it's not Jewish, I don't know what it is. It's halikut, see, I don't know what the sefer to put it in, so he put it in the Midbar Kedema, al-fialah sefer, everything. So under the name Ephraim, he quotes this. The Rabbeinu Bechaya, somewhere, I don't know, quote, somebody quotes it from the Rabbeinu Bechaya, says that Ephraim means offer of Eif. There is a medrash that says like that. In the name of the Chazanish, they quote in the Per Ador that if a person names a baby after a nifter, then it's a zgula for the nifter. If a person names a baby after the Parshas HaShavua, then it's a zgula for the baby. And if a person names a baby after two niftarim, then it's not a zgula either for this nifter or for that nifter, because it's not the same name. That's what they quote. So B'chari, this Rabbeinu Bechaya, I don't know, may not be agreeing with the Chazanish. No, they quote in the Pe'er Ador, that's the biography of the Chazanish, five volume biography. Published by the Agudah, so all Agudah politics, it's the end, from all Agudah politics. So the so all anti-Medina, from the beginning to the end, it's all anti-Medina. But they have very interesting things there. Some very interesting halachas. So they quote there in the name of the Chazanish about naming babies. So they quote, if you name the baby after something in the Parashas HaShavua, then it's a school for the baby. If you name the baby after a nifter, then it's not a school for the baby at all, but it'll be a school for the nifter. If you name the baby, I have a baby, Yosef Aryeh. I have another baby, Yisrael Moshe. And they're named after two different people. So the Chazanish is quoted as saying, if you name the baby after two different people like that, so it's not a school, not for the baby and not for any nifter, because it's no one's name. It's nothing. So the Pashtus in this Rabbeinu Bechaya is that it's not so exactly, maybe not so, because he says that he named the baby after Avraham and Yitzchak, that Avraham was Afer and Yitzchak was Afer, so he called him Ephraim, double Afer.
One name.
What is the name
of him?
What is the name of him?
I don't know.
When did that start?
The Medrash and Bereshis Rabbah is quoted by the Achron. Medrash says that B'derech HaRishonim, when they had Ruach HaKodesh, so they used to give names al Shem HaMa'ora, based on things that happened. And then later, when they no longer had Ruach HaKodesh, so they chose to give names after people who were nifter in the after people in the family. And then there were different minhagim, whether you named Dafke by the Ashkenazi, you named Dafke after people who were nifter, and by the Spartan, they would even name the people who were still alive. There are Makaris in the Gemara like that. The Gemara says in Takar Ablaza de Milo that they named a few babies after Rab Nosson, when he was alive, Rab Nosson. And then Hillel with the gear and Perek Baman Likin. The Gemara says the goy came to Shammai and he threw him out and came to Hillel and he was Mekarvim and he was Megayahim. So then there's a medrash that says, there's not a medrash, or something, one of the sources that tells the story that Ger had twins, I think. He had two boys, and one boy he named Hillel after the Rebbe. That's the Mokka to name after the Rebbe. And Hillel Pashtus is Hillel was still alive. Hillel was still alive. And
he's asking the mother
for help.
So they named the baby.
Oh, okay. You find it in the Gemara. Yeah, you find the mother. They used to name after people who were alive. The Minchas Aluza, Minchas the Minkash, he quotes in his chief that he's a descendant from the Rebbe Rebbe Elimelech, the Rebbe Elimelech, Rabbi Shmuel Leinover. So he says, I think the Rebbe Rebbe Elimelech's daughter was married. She got the whole dynasty there, and she lived far away from the father, and she was expecting a baby. So the father told her that my name is Ahimelech, and you're going to have a boy. When the boy is born, you should give the name Ahimelech by the bris. So then the boy was born. They had a boy. And then when they were deciding what to name the baby, the father lived far away. There was no telephone, telegraph. This is in the free digger there. And she didn't want to name the baby Ahimelech. Her father was still alive. How could she name the baby Ahimelech? I remember whether it's the daughter or the granddaughter throughout the whole story. You gotta look in the history book. So she didn't want to name the baby Elimelech because it was still alive. So she named him Tzvi Elimelech. And then once, after a couple of years or something, after a year or two, he went to visit the father, the grandfather, whoever it was, and then he was playing with the baby on his lap. And he started to call him Elimelech. Because he assumed that that was his name. That's what he said she should name the baby Elimelech. So she said, no, the kid's name is Hirshmelech, Tzvi Elimelech. So he got very angry and he said that he's not going to grow up to be as great as he should have been. They would have given him the name that I told you to give him, Elimelech, my name, then he would have become a big Rebbe. Now he was only the Bnei Yisosfer, a little Rebbe. A big Rebbe. I don't know, apparently he wasn't as great as the name Elimelech. It wasn't as great as he was supposed to become. I don't know who was greater. You have to ask the Hasid.
They didn't have
Ruth Abode.
They weren't naming Abi Amayra.
Don't know, that's what the Medrash says, the Bereshis Rabbah that the Achronim quote. And Parsha Lamed Zion says that Bedoris Rishon that they had Ruach HaKodesh that they used to name Achar HaMoira, and Bedoris Achronim that there's no longer Ruach HaKodesh, they name after people in the family to have a Masoira. And then the Medrash Tanchuma says that you should always be careful when you pick a name to name after a Tzaddik, not after a Rasha, because there is an idea of Shmo Gorim that the Gemara says in Perek Kol Abasar the Rav Meir used to be Medayik B'Shmo, that if a person had a rotten name, so he would always stay away from such a person. Kidor, some guy had a name Kidor. He said Kidor tapuch haseimos, and there must be something wrong with him, so he stayed away from him. And he says, I think when a mamzer is born, so she give him a name Kidor. And the Gemara says in Kolabas, that's other people that had good names, so he trusted them. He went into business with them. The people that had bad names, he didn't trust. In Kolabas, in Chulim, there are Kolabas. The Gemara quotes the Ramei was Medayik Bishmo. And the Medrash Tanchuma says that the Meraglim, the Gemara in Soito speaks about the names of the Meraglim, that all of the names indicate that they were going to turn out to be criminals, going to turn out to be Rishoyim. So that's what the Medrash Tanchuma says on that parsha by the Meraglim. You should be careful when you name a baby to give him a name of a tzaddik, not to name after a Rasha. That's what the Gemara says, that Shem Rishoyim Yirkav, the Gemara is a pasuk. Zech Tzaddik Lebrach B'Shem Rishoyim Yirkav. So what does it mean Shem Rishoyim Yirkav? That you're not permitted to lay maskinan bishma. You're not permitted to give a name Adolf. Jews in Germany used to give names to their children Adolf, but now after they had Adolf Hitler, so the Gemara has it in. You're not permitted to give a name lay maskinan bishma. You're not allowed to give a name. Let's say there was a Russian's name was Yankov, but there were many tzaddikim with the name Yankov. So when you say the name Yankov, it doesn't right away bring the image of this other Russian. But if you have a name that's an unusual right, like Adolf, so right away brings to us the connotation of Hitler, Yimach Shema. The Gemara says, Le Maskini Bishma, you're not allowed to give a name like that. The Pizchi Tshuva on Yeredeya is a sim in the beginning of the second Chelik Yeredeya, where it has a list of all of the things that you're not allowed to do in Pnei HaSakona. You're not allowed to drink water that's contaminated, you're not allowed to eat food that's rotten, out of the refrigerator, and so on. All the Gemaras, that you're not allowed to do things that are dangerous to your health. So the Pesach Tshuva on that simon, quotes Achronim say, the simon is based on these midrashim, that you shouldn't give a name after even a tzaddik if he died at a very young age, or if he died in Nisan Mishnah or something, because it may be a simon ra for the child, because Rav Meir was medayik b'shmo, and midrashim say you should always name after a person who was a tzaddik and who lived to a ripe old age.
What changed the name?
That's what. Yeah.
Call it, change the name.
based on the Gemara. Yeah, Gemara Roshana says that there are four things that are Mekarim Zagdim Shalodim: Tshuva, Tfila, Tzedakah, V'Shini Hashem. And Roshana Yom Kippur, we just say Tshuva, Tfila, Tzedakah, but the Gemara has four: Shini Hashem also. La'avir and Israel Hagzir. That's what that's based on. Make a Shini Hashem. The Achrayim of the Beis Yitzchok has a Tshuva. Of course, the Yitzchok Shmelted. The Lemberger Rav has a Tshuva. He lived a little over 100 years ago. That's Professor Lewin's great great grandfather. So he has a Tshuva where he writes, he quotes this. He doesn't quote the Pesach Tshuva, he's before the Pesach Tshuva. He quotes the Achrayim from the Pesach Tshuva quotes, but you're not supposed to give a name if the person has died at a young age, even if he was a tzaddik. But if you really want to, so then you should give two names. You should add on another name. So that's a common practice, that people want a name after someone who died young or something like that. So they give two names. Ramosha has a tshuva. If you want a name after someone who was killed by the Nazis, he thinks that it's okay. There's a minig doesn't apply. Even though he died in Misa Mishunah, but he was a Kaddish. And he says, well, he has to say, so if you want, so you add on another name.
When names change, like in Europe, they gave names that were Yiddish, and now see things like, say, Adam, the German doesn't mean anything now.
You give an equivalent, yeah. Like here he gave Ephraim. Was Ephraim and Ephraim, double Ephraim. Is the name after Avraham Yitzchak?
Good. Person's name was Shane, as you say, Tovah, or things like that.
Yeah.
So that's enough, like just
no, Shane is not Tovah.
Whatever.
Rav Soloveitchik's daughter, Rabbi Lichtenstein's, right, Gittel, right. Rav Soloveitchik's daughter, Tovah, is named after a great grandmother, I think, whose name was Gittel.
So it's like if you have names in French or German or something, you do a translation. What if the name doesn't mean anything?
That's
one of the most common shaylos in American rabbis is that name the baby.
Yeah, yeah.
I just thought you think it's just narshtag, but that's a really serious shaylos that you should think seriously.
They're very serious. Basa B'cholov is more serious than Chalisha Mishpatzi is more serious than Basa B'cholov, and Avodah Zarah is more serious than that. They're a malice, but this is also everything. Call it Tarakula, serious. And there are different levels of seriousness.
Yeah,
and remember, I don't remember if they give any shiur.
What if they came from Rabbeinu Bachya to give a different reason than
Tovah? I don't know. I'm wondering, why does he give a different reason? Unless he's basing himself in the Birach Chumash, it doesn't appear. Why does Rabbeinu Bachya give a different reason from what it says here? Finally came the Eretz Tanya. So why does he give a different time? Ephraim is double Eifer. Unless he bases it on the Pasuk, Malach HaVeolot and Kol Vivach HaSlam HaKor V'Hem Shemim V'Shem Eretz Avrom Yitzchok. But in his Birach Chumash he doesn't say that. What does it mean? Because Abraham Shemim Shemir is Avraham Yitzchak. Is that what it means? That his name is Ephraim based on Avraham Yitzchak. I don't think that's what it means. And he doesn't say it. I couldn't find it in his Birach. I don't know what prompted
it. The reason the person just tells us it should be the Shorash of Yiryu. It doesn't tell us it should be Ephraim or Yitzchak or Taphraim. He's explaining why it's not good with Ayin.
Aleph. Could be.
The Ayin part.
Aleph. Could be. They quote in the name of the Vilna Goyen, a similar comment, it's apropos to this. The Gemara says in Brachas that why did Leah give her name Reuven? Because Reu ma ben b'nei le ben chami. That Esau sold the Pechorah to Yaakov, and then he was fighting afterwards why Yaakov took the Pechorah. Didn't take it again, he sold it to him for the Nezid Adoshin. And my son, Reuven, this baby who was just born, later on his father took away the Bechorah from him and he gave it to Yosef, and he didn't put up a fight. So that's what the Gemara darshins on the name Reuven. Reu ma ben b'nei ben chami. So all the Mepharshim ask, what is the Gemara talking about? The Pasuk says, Atikashma Reuven, Ki Amra Ru Hashem B'yonyi. Says the favorite the reason, but the Gemara give a different time. Smadna. So they quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon, and other Gedolim say the same shot. That if you look by all of the Shvatim's names, it always says, because of this and that reason, therefore they gave this name. And by Reuven is the only one where it says the reverse. It says they gave the name Reuven because it says the reason after. So he says that's apparently what that's what they're going. Another Gedolim say that apparently this is what prompted the Gemara to say another reason. They gave the name Reuven, there must have been another reason. And then it says, and then there was another reason also, Ki Yirah Hashem B'yoni. So here also the Pasuk has like that, but he gave the name Ephraim, Ki Ephraim Lekim B'Eretzani. Give the name first and then it says the reason. Maybe, I don't understand that exactly why that's a hechach. What's the difference? You say the psak first and then you give the reason, you say the reason, give the psak in the last line? I don't know. But that's what they quote from the Goyim and others. The Medrash is, L'chor, the Medrash is stressing the significance of having Masura, that we name our children after ancestors in order to preserve the Masura. The Masura is not only Masura of Dinim, to say over the Dinim straight. Masura is to have all the Hanhoggas to carry over all the attitudes as well. So we even preserve the names. I think so. You mean you make into two names? That's what the Chazan, they quoted the name of Chazan Ish, but not. If it's not the same name as an Ifka, then it's not. He's the chief rabbi. I don't know. I was telling a story yesterday. I don't know how he knows. Amotcha ben Eliyahu, I told a story at my home last night that 2 years ago when Amotcha ben Eliyahu with Avram Shapiro were in America, the two chief rabbis. So the Sfardim got him in Flatbush and he was sitting all day there giving brochas to the Balabatim. They were all online. Everybody was coming for a brocha for their sick children and for the oldest and for the Mulbaris and for those that had no children and for Chatan Kal. Everybody came. So one guy came with a girl. He's going to marry a girl, his girlfriend. So then Rabbi Eliyahu asked, Me'ezo Eida. Which kehillah is she from? So she says she's a Catholic. She's not Jewish at all. The party is going to marry, he wants a bracha. So the Rabbi Rashi, the chief rabbi, didn't like that. He said he wants to talk to the girl separately from the boy. So he was had an interpreter, so he said she shouldn't marry him, he doesn't love her. So she said, how do you know? He says, I'm the chief rabbi. And he said, he doesn't love you, and you'll never be happy, and it'll be a miserable marriage, and it'll end in divorce. So what do you need all the trouble for? Don't marry him. I can tell by looking at him that he doesn't love you. So then the boy was there with his mother, I think, or with his parents. So the girl went back to the boy, and she said, the chief rabbi said, I shouldn't marry you. You don't love me. So he said, what are you talking about? I do love you. How does he know? So she said, he said, he's a chief rabbi. He said, so what? The chief rabbi doesn't know anything. So they came back to him, and he said, yeah. He says, he doesn't love her. So he said, so later on, they didn't get married. He broke up the ship. So later on when he went there to Israel, he mentioned to people that he was very aggravated about the whole trip. He didn't enjoy the whole trip. Not because of the visit to YU or because of whatever aspect of the trip he had. He didn't enjoy it, but he says it, and he was wondering what did he have to suffer through this whole visit to America for. And he thinks that maybe that's why, in order to break up in order to convince the girl that she should marry him. Maybe the Chazon Ish also has one. Rabbi Chalap was named Zvulun because he told me everybody knew that. They only gave him, they planned, they wanted to give him the name Zvulun after his grandfather, great-grandfather, I think. The father of Yankee Moshe was Zvulun, no? And, but he said he only gave the name because the name was mentioned in the Parshas HaShavuot. If it wouldn't have been mentioned, then they wouldn't have given him the name, even though that's the name that they want. Because it's a zgula for the baby if you name after something in the Parshas HaShavuot. If you name after a nifter, then that is apparently there's some kind of a tradition by the Kabbalah that it's not a zgula for the baby, it's only a zgula for the nifter. But he was lucky, he was named after the Parshas HaShavuot and after a nifter. But he said they wouldn't have given him that name if not for the fact that it also appeared in the Parsha. Because he felt that he needed a zgula. Not just that the nifter needed, that he should also have a zgula.
What's the
Ramotcha ben Eliyahu. Yaakov Avinu was afraid to let Binyamin go down to Mitzrayim, and then Reuven tried to promise him that he's going to take care, he'll be Achroi, and then he didn't listen to Reuven. And then when Yehuda promised that he'll take care, then he listened to Yehuda. Why is it that he listened to Yehuda, he didn't listen to Reuven? So one medrash says, Pashup Shah, that when Reuven was Tananai with the father, and the father said no, so Yehuda said, it's an old man, he doesn't understand. Just wait till we run out of food. Run out of food, then he'll agree. So they just waited a couple of months or whatever, and then they ran out of food. So then he had to agree. That's all. So the old man had to agree because they had no prayer. But late prayers they had to agree. That's perhaps Pashup Shat. So others interpret differently. Some of the first Machuzish have this. Stevens has Nachlas Yaakov, and others have like this. I think Ramban has like this Machuzish. I don't remember that. Not because they waited till later, like the Medrash said, but differently. That when Yaakov was handling with Reuven originally, so he said, "Osi shikaltim Yosef enenu v'shimon enenu alayhu yukulano," and Rashi quotes the Medrash, "Osi shikaltim," that he blurted out at that time that he was choshed that they had. "Osi shikaltim" means that you killed Yosef. That you were at fault. What are they at fault? "Osi shikaltim atem shikaltim osi Yosef enenu." What does that do with Yosef? What did they do with Yosef? They just found the kfinest partner. So he blurted out at that time that he was choshedem. So many years he never mentioned it, but he had in the back of his mind he was choshedem that they had killed Yosef. And Shimon and Nenu, he thought that they were somehow responsible for the fact that Shimon was still there. So Reuven promises the father, "I swear, I'll take good care of Binyamin. It'll be my achrayis. I won't be posheya." So the father wasn't satisfied with that. He said, "Ten yikrenu alsim badera." All right, you're going to promise that you'll be achroi, but what will happen? I'm not so much worried. What I said, she called him that I'm afraid that you're going to kill her. But now Binyamin is the favorite son. Used to be Yosef is the favorite son. Now Binyamin is the favorite son. No, forget about that. I'm not chosh at you. I'm afraid ten yikrenu alsim badera. Who's going to? How can you dissuade him? Is he afraid of an accident? So what are you going to do? So Yehuda said, "No, I feel a bonus. Even if an bonus will occur, that that I'm achray, even if an bonus will occur." Oh, said he's mekabel onsin. Not only is mekabel that he won't be poshe, he'll watch over Binyamin. Even if an oinus will occur, so then the father said, "Okay, I'll let him go because you're being mekabel even on." That's, I think, the Ramban and other mefarshim saying. The only question is, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah, what do you mean he's mekabel achray, even bonson? What does it mean? If an oinus is going to occur, so what can he do? So they quote in the name of the Tzachat Shover, "I will be achray. I'll do whatever is in my power to see that he comes back alive and in one piece and healthy and so on. I will not be poshea. If anybody tries to injure him, to harm him, I will protect him and defend him." Kabbalah promise. But other Mepharshim said because it is Mekabel even on the Binyan Sin has like that, the very end of the Chelek Sheni in Binyan Sin, he has a whole tshuva. What's Pshat? Shnei Banai Tamis. Very difficult pasuk. Shnei Banai Tamis. Of course, it's Chelek Sheni. So he gives that Pshat. And others here, Nachos Yaakov, the Stevens, and others give that Pshat. So they quote in the name of the Sachar Shova that the Pshat, is, what do you mean he's Mekabel on? What kind of ridiculous thing is that? What is he going to do if there's going to be a Nainus? What's going to pay the father money? It doesn't make any sense. So they quote in the name of the Sachar Shova a comment that a psychological insight, a comment that's true, that sometimes when a person is in a very difficult situation, a very big shasatach, that he has koiches to do things that are really, that under normal circumstances he wouldn't have. You have people who ran away for the Nazis, they did things that under normal circumstances no human being would be able to do. They ran for days and days with no water and no food and no sleep, and unbelievable crazy things the people did, because they were running for their lives. Mamish, there was a sakonas nefashim. And people jumped over rivers that were yards wide. But b'derech hateva, they couldn't jump. Old, sick people, and they swam tremendous distances. So the Tzachat Shava said that we know that under great shasat chak, people can go l'maylam in akoyches, because if they really strength zuchon, if they really work very, very hard, so they can muster up more koyches to do these things that under normal circumstances they couldn't do. So that's how he said it, that's the pshat, that Reuven promised, you worried Oisi Shikaltim, that we're responsible for the loss of Yosef, we're responsible for the loss of Shimon, so I promise you that I'm going to take care. But he wasn't the Kabbalah. He says, I'll take care, I won't be Poshea, I will work, I will see to it that he comes back alive. So the father says, yeah, you'll try the best to the best of your abilities, but you'll be very relaxed. But then when Yehuda says, I'm a Kabbalah even Ba'anistan, so he knows that he's going to burn in Gehenim, he's going to be Mukhram, he's going to be Mekabel Acherim Ba'alam Azeh Ba'alam Abba, even if this Binyamin dies because of an accident, so then he's going to strengthen much more, and he will be able to protect him and defend him even if there'll be an einus. Not all of the yonson, some of the yonson you absolutely can't do anything about. But some of the yonson he will be able to exert more effort and energy and to save his life. So then, to that, Yankov was maskim, because he knew that he would be mois nefesh more. Yeah, that's how some of Orshim say Pshna, only if it'll be the Pshna. Because the father said, oh, see, she called him, so he said, oh, you worried that we won't protect him? So I promise I'll defend him. That's how the Nachlas Yankov learns, and the Bin Yansin and others learn like that. That was exactly the difference between between Reuven and Yehuda's promise. The Nachlas Yaakov. Here, the Nachlas Yaakov gives a pshat that some sefer also says. Some Rishonim say that they have enough in Rishonim. The Shnei Banai Tamis means that they shouldn't get a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. That the pasuk says that the Meraglim died, and then it says the Yeshuva called Choyu minu Anoshim Ha'im Atorim Etoritz. So the Gemara says the sefer Choyu should not lechelkam boritz, that they got their chelik in Eretz Yisrael. You see that in biblical Hebrew, the word choyu sometimes means to get someone's chelik in Eretz Yisrael that you shouldn't really have gotten. So Thomas means that you shouldn't get the chelik in Eretz Yisrael. So that's how the Chacham Sofer writes pshat, and the Tshuva in Arachayim Chelik Arachayim says that he thinks that that's pshat. Shnei Banai Thomas. That's how the Nachlas Yankov also, the Nesivus, he quotes the Taz, and he has an arichas on that. He has more of an elaboration on that theme. But it's a very difficult pshat. The Binyan Tzion quotes this, and he doesn't like it. Says, what right did Reuven have to give away his children's chelik boritz? What is he a bala bas on his children's chelik boritz? So he gives a whole different shot. Did it come through him? Can I give away Yerusha that I'm going to get, that my children are supposed to get? Or it doesn't work. So I didn't get the Yerusha yet. My grandfather's still alive. After my grandfather dies, then I'm going to be a rich man. So I'm already taking away the nakla from my children. You can't be misalik yourself in Yerusha. Pishnaim you can be misalik from, but Yerusha you can't be misalik. Unless I got the Yerusha on Mapkrid, but he didn't get it yet. Anyway, so he the Binyan Tzion, the end of Chelek Beis, has a different shot. An interesting shot. He says, the Gemara says in Bama Madlikim, we discussed it last week, I think, that Bavon Adarim Bani Mesi. Bavon Adarim Ishta Shalom the Mesi, and the Gemara also says Bavon Adarim Bani Mesi. So he says, which Banim? So he quotes, I think the Parashas Rav, and says, only Banim Ketanim, not Banim Gedolim. Maybe the Gemara says that, I don't remember. Only Banim Ketanim Amesim, not Banim Gedolim. So he says, that's the answer to the Ramban's Kasha. Why is Shnei Banai Tamis? The Ramban asked that Reuven had four sons. It says later who the four sons were. Chetzim Akari had four sons, so why, how come he's only offering two? How come he's only saying Shnei Banai Tamis? So that's what the Binyan Tzion says, that two were Bar Mitzvah and two were before Bar Mitzvah. So Bavon Adorim Banim Amesim is only the two who were not Bar Mitzvah. Bavon Adarim Bani Meitim. Mishu Mekabel Neder, Bavon Mekayim Et HaNeder, then the Bani Ketanim will die. So he says that Reuven was Mekabel HaNeder, that he will be Achroi for Binyamin. So he tells the father, and if I won't fulfill the Neder, then my Bani Ketanim should die. Bavon Adarim, Bani Meitim. Tamisa, he explains why. You will be causing them to die, because if you want to hastab reire tata, you can be mechel me my neder. Let's say I take a neder to give you $1,000. And then when I'm about to give it, you say you don't really need the money, you mechel me. So then it's not considered a violation of my neder if I don't give. So he promises the father ben neder that I'm going to give back Binyamin to you. And if I don't bring him back, I will be considered as violating my neder. Unless it's bainus, then bainus, you don't violate the neder. That's what he says also. The chilek between Yehuda and Reuven was, Yehuda was mekabel onsen. And Reuven was not mekabel onsen. So he says, Reuven was not mekabel onsen. He just said a neder, a shvuah, is going to bring him back. And if he doesn't keep his promise, doesn't keep the neder, then his bainus tanah will die. But he says, the father has the koyach to be meichel the neder. Because the neder was litzavka, that I'll bring it back to you. So he says, a shnei banai tamis. If you want to, you can be meichel my neder. If you don't want to, you don't have to be meichel my neder. The main about bottom town will die.
Who says that?
The Binyan Tzion. Binyan Tzion says that.
Is that really worth it? After the challenge, you can only say that it's a ring if you look about, right?
Yeah.
You can only say that it's.
Mominous.
That's a little much out of the clothing. You only say it's my coat over here. You can sometimes say.
No, the Tzarek Kloini. Lechwedi means whenever it's Lechwedi. I'm going to give you back the whole net it was because you want me to bring back Binyamin to you. So I'm going to bring it back to you, and if you'll say later that you moichel harei mikilus kabalti, so the ois neder. Not covered. There's nothing dafke covered. Means they not a mahavero. Let's say if I take a neder that if it doesn't snow tomorrow, I give $1,000 to tzedakah. So then you can't change that neder. But if I take a neder to somebody to give something to somebody, so the guy can be moichel the tanai and say harei mikilus kabalti. Only when I have l'tovas mishu acher. It was Latoga, somebody else, or the guy can be left. So here it goes, the Tevis Yankov Avin. The Nachalat Yankov, the Nesivis has a different shot over here. Why did Yaakov, not really a different shot, he talks about Yehuda, a different angle. Why? He learns also, why did Yaakov accept the Achrayis of Yehuda, not the Achrayis of Reuven? Because Yehuda was Mekabel Onsen and Reuven was not Mekabel Onsen. Only Pshiya, only if he'll be negligent, Shikalten. I think the Shaila is, how could Yehuda say such a thing? What Yehuda says is Mekabel Onsen, isn't that a crazy thing? What's going to be if there's going to be a Nainus? It's going to be Mukhram Boilam Azeb Boilam Abo. How can he do such a crazy thing? How did he know he's going to pull through? How did Yehuda know he's going to pull through? So he says, because the Gemara says in Bava Basra, in Yesh Nachman, that there is Gemiri, we have a tradition, the Lord called a shift in Israel, that no one of the Shvatim will ever be wiped out completely. So Yehuda knew that Binyamin is not going to die. So what was Yankov afraid of? Because Yankov thought that Yosef was dead. Yankov didn't know, so he thought Yosef was dead. So what happened to the Gemiri, the Lord called a shift? So he thought the stomach of one of the other Shvatim is going to be split into two. But Yehuda knew the truth. Yosef is not dead. No one is dead. And we have a Kabbalah, Gemira, the Lord called a shift in Yisrael. None of the Shvatim will be killed. So he says, that's why Yehuda knew that he could promise. He was a big knocker. Because he knew information. I don't know.
He
says, in the Gemara, the term means that a Shevet will not be wiped out completely. He claims that it means more than that. He understands that it means that no one of the Shvatim will die before the time is up. How does he know that? That's all. I don't know. So he says, that's why Yehuda was such a big knocker. When you play the market, you know, like stock market, you have to know information that the other guy does know. So he says, Yehuda knew information that Yaakov Avinu didn't know. He knew that Yosef is still alive. So he knew that Gemiri de la Kol Shift is Kipshuto, not Pshetla. He said, none of the Shvatim will die.
But it couldn't happen later. What Yaakov thought happened already could happen if Yehuda knew it was not going to happen. And
he was a Pashtun. He was a Pashtun. He knew that he didn't believe in Tokul.
He was alive. Nope,
that's what he said. He felt the Haftacha will be Mekuyim. Gemir de la Kol Shift, he had no reason to doubt that Haftacha would not be Mekuyim.
Wasn't Yaakov also worried that maybe Yehuda would not even die, but maybe just stay in his mind that you would never see him again? So that's a big kind of question.
I don't know. It's a good question, I don't know. Yeah, the Gemara means a different thing. The Gemara means that a whole tribe will never be wiped out. You can have 99% of the tribe wiped out, but there's going to be at least 1% left. Someone is going to be left from the tribe. The Nesivis is taking the Gemara in another sense. That's what they're telling. The Nesivis takes it in the sense that the original persons of the Shvatim, the Shift they call the Yud Bei Shvatim, will never die. They did die, but it means they won't die before their time. They'll die a normal death. At the end of the parsha, what's the last passage in the parsha? That's the last line. Yeah, that's the last line. At the very end of the parsha.
Yes.
El Avichem. So the Rabbeinu Bechaya has a long comment on that last phrase in the passage. He quotes the Kabbalah story. He was speaking last night about the Asara Harugi Malchus. So he says you should know that they didn't all live in the same generation. He makes that comment. I mentioned last night that my daughter had a tanya in the SOY Parshas HaShavua journal. So one of the Divrei Torah recently had about the Asara Harugi Malchus. So the one who wrote, the rabbi, I think, one of the rabbis who wrote an essay, wrote that the tyrant killed the Asara Harugi Malchus. I always tell my children that if they weren't all killed in the same era of history, and when it says in the Kinnis, in the Slich, it's not correct. It says that one Odom Rasha, one Melech Arul, all kinds of...
In the introduction to the Kinnis, in 11 divisions, but they were not all killed at one time.
Right. So that's what I tell my children all the time. So one of my daughters read this, so she said, how can he write that the tyrant killed all the ten? You know they didn't live in the same era, but that's what it says in the Slicha. So that's what Rabbeinu Bechaya writes over here. He says, Basara Harugi Malchus because of the Mechirat Yosef. And he says, it's a big Kabbalah Inyan, and he quotes Hechelis, the Pirkei Hechelis. It's Kabbalah Song where they talk about this. And he says, in the Kabbalah Song, it says that the remnants for this is the last Pasuk, and it said, Vatem, Alu L'Shalom El Avichem, that they're going to have to go back to the Ribbono Shel Olam, they're going to be killed. Because of selling Yosef. That's the remnant in this passage for Asara Harugi Malchus. And then he says, it says in the Kabbalah Sram that the word Anoshim appears 10 times in this story. And he quotes every single passage where it says Anoshim. And the appearance of the word Anoshim 10 times represents the idea of the Asara Harugi Malchus. Then he quotes Vaita from one of the. And he says they weren't all killed at the same time. He makes that comment, they were killed in different eras. And then he quotes also from the Kabbalah source that Lamai said they were never killed, it was all a bluff. That when they were about to kill them, then somehow miraculously Goyim was substituted instead of them. and they lived on. They died a natural death later. Each one of them. Each one of us are a That's what he called to my manager. It's a little strange. What? The Gemara describes the Misa Mishunah, yeah. So he quotes the Pirkei Hecholos, that those Misa Mishunah, they were about to kill all of the ten Tanaim, and then the last second, the Skalfal had somebody else, and the other guy was free. That's what he's up to. Yeah, yeah. Some early Kabbalah songs, I'm not familiar. Yeah. Nuru, Sabina Bechai. Okay. Sorry I came late.